Thanks, Mammy Mayfield, and thank you all to the kiddos who joined us up here. I get a front row seat. That's my very favorite thing of the year. Oliver, I think, won the prize. Did you see the little one that was just in so much awe of what was going on up here that he had to bring his toy truck to see the nativity set? I love that it's like he's one of the little drummer boys who wants to bring his offering to Jesus as well. Well, let me pray for us again. Lord God, we do thank you for this moment, this time, to remember the incredible miracle of your Son coming to earth. Lord, we pray that you would give us childlike hearts, that we would see, that we would long to learn more about all that you give us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, it is an incredible thing to think about what it must have been like for those people who were gathered that first Christmas. One of my favorite thoughts is actually not of the humans, it's of the angels. Can you imagine being one of the angels and you know what is about to happen? The angels have been with Jesus for an eternity. They've been with him forever, and all of a sudden, they know that some really, really, really good news is about to break in to the human world. The human world was lost. It was in darkness. It was despairing. There had been 400 years since anything had happened, any word of God had appeared, and it felt to the Israelites like God had abandoned them, that they had finally messed up so badly that God had washed his hands of them and walked away. Can you imagine that level of despair, of this faint hope of prophecies long ago, but no one had heard anything since? There had been no sign. Did God completely forget us? Did he abandon us? Were we so shameful that he let go? But behind the curtains, the angels are just bursting with excitement. They cannot wait to share this story. And you can just imagine them like looking at the shepherds and waiting for just the right moment when they weren't paying attention. And all of a sudden, the first angel goes out and boom, the light changes completely. The incredible news, behold, I bring you good news of great joy. Today is born to you in the city of David, Jesus, who is Christ the Lord. The Messiah, the one that you have been waiting for all of your lives, for your grandparents' and great-grandparents' lives, he is here today, and you are the very first witnesses of that. And that first angel is like, all right, now bring it on, boys. And the heavens open up, and the entire angel choir shows up. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to all people on whom God's favor rests. We often leave off that last little phrase of that. We say good peace on earth, goodwill to men, stop. But that sentence doesn't stop there. That sentence goes on. It says, peace to all those on whom God's favor rests. Everybody in Israel thought it was time that God had washed his hands of them. But now God is saying, my favor is still with you. And that is the promise that God gives us right now, too. Jesus didn't just come for the Israelites. He didn't just come to the tribe of Judah. He came for the whole world. Peace on earth, on the whole earth. He came because humanity had fallen away from God and couldn't get back to God on their own. People had tried to be good enough. They had tried to follow all the rules, but no one was ever good enough. And God knew that humans wouldn't be able to get to him. So he would come down to them. Jesus Christ set aside, the book of Philippians says, he was with God, he was equal to God, but he did not consider his equality with God something to be grabbed onto, something to be held onto. And he let go of it. And he poured himself, his incredible, infinite, divine, eternal self, he poured himself into the form of a baby. Not just a human, not just a fully grown man, but a baby. A baby who would need to learn how to walk and talk and learn how to do all kinds of things, completely helpless in the arms of his mother. Not even welcomed in a grand fashion, but laid in a food trough for animals. And yet God loved us that much. God loved us so much. And he loved us in this way that his only begotten Son, his eternally begotten Son, he was willing to give to us because he loved us that much and he no longer wanted a barrier between God and humans. He was willing to come and willing to be with us, to be born in human form. And not only that, he came and he walked our dirt, he spoke, he taught, and it didn't stop there either. He served God faithfully. He was perfect in the eyes of the law. He did everything God required of him, and then he laid his life down. He was willing to die on a cross. That's how much God loved us. It wasn't just that he sent a baby. It was that he sent his son to die for us. And thanks be to God, the power of the crucifixion was not enough power to hold him down in the grave. Jesus rose again from the dead 3 days later, and now he's seated at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We know that Jesus conquered death. Jesus was the one to come and break down the dividing wall between us and God, to split the veil that separated the Holy of Holies and the temple from the rest of humanity. Because God loved us so much. Because we are those on whom God's favor rests. For many of you, it is hard to imagine why God would look at you with favor, why God would look at you and be delighted to see you. How many of you sometimes struggle with the image of God with a vaguely disappointed look on his face? Like, you again? Have you messed up again? I think that a lot myself. But I have to remember that is not how God loves us. He knows how broken we are. He never expected us to be otherwise. He knows that about us, and he loves us anyway. And he sent his son to be with us, to transform our hearts even today. And the good news isn't just for back then, 2,000 years ago. The good news isn't just for now. The good news is for all time and all eternity. Jesus Christ is bringing about the redemption of not just you, but of the whole world. We were singing Joy to the World a few minutes ago. Joy to the World, it's the 300th anniversary of that song this month. It's amazing to think about how much that's part of our world. There's a line in it that said, "No more let sin and sorrow grow, nor thorns infest the ground." God is talking at that point about the curse that fell on the earth because of human sin, but Jesus Christ is infinitely more powerful, and he is going to remove even that curse from creation. We all see how creation is groaning, and that Romans 8 says creation groans for the redemption of the world. It really seems like the world is groaning right now, the earth itself and all of the people in it. But God is promising redemption and restoration, transformation that doesn't just start here. It is a promise for all of eternity. Pastor Steve often says when he calls for the offering, you know, some people think that Christians just want your money. And he says, well, yeah, but God actually wants way more than that. But God has way bigger plans than just you for redemption. God has way bigger plans for transforming this world, to restoring every individual of you, because he loves you as his child, his sons and daughters, and the entire earth. We can look forward to his redemption and his transformation. He will create a new heaven and a new earth where there, thank you, Lord, will be no more mosquitoes. And no more of the brokenness, no more sin, and no more sorrow. God is restoring and redeeming. And we can all approach God in the delight of a child, so excited to see. And we will be able to worship him with our whole heart without holding anything back. We are being made and brought together so that we can praise and worship him. Because he is the one who sees us, who created us. He knows every single number of hairs on your head. And he knows all that you need. God is not looking at you with shame and regret. God is looking at you with favor tonight. He has sent his son to die on the cross for you so that you may know the joy of standing in the presence of God. Hebrews says that we may boldly approach the throne of grace. Our Father is a Father who wants to throw his arms open wide and wrap you in them and draw you close to him. That is the promise of Christmas. It's not just a babe in a manger. It's a redeeming, conquering Lord Jesus Christ who will come and welcome all of us into his presence. Let me pray together. Lord God, we thank you for your power. We thank you that you gave the gift of Jesus Christ, that you came to transform not just a time, a community 2,000 years ago, but we ourselves right now and the whole earth. Lord, we do groan for the redemption of the world, and we pray for your coming, that you would show us your power and your life. Lord, help us hope in you, even as we await your second coming as well. In Jesus' name, amen.